Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. We're going to get right into the message this evening. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air. We're getting into a very, very, very deep, we think, comprehensive, interesting, well-researched subject tonight for you on the topic, life in the blood. Now, we're going to begin our message in this manner. We're going to give you some background about what blood is. Approximately 55% of blood is plasma. Now, a straw-colored clear liquid, as it runs through the veins, turns dark when it is exposed to light or oxygen. The liquid plasma carries the solid cells and the platelets, which help the blood to clot. And without this, you would bleed to death if you just scratched your finger. Now, everybody's blood is not the same. There are four different blood types. We're going to name them for you. We got type O blood, type A blood, type B blood, and type AB blood. Now, it's probably just a coincidence, or is it, that there were four genetic races that came out of the original Garden of Eden. But we find that there was actually five blood types. Now that's even more interesting because we had what is known as a blood type that was unrelated to the other four. They shouldn't have been, this particular blood type we're going to talk about should not have been in there. Now, in some ways, every person's blood is the same. In other words, it has the same characteristics, but when analyzed under a microscope, distinct differences are visible. Well, we know that because we have now the types labeled as one molecule, which would be an A, and the other molecule, which would be a B. And if the red blood cell has only A molecules on it, the blood type was called A. If the red blood cell that only had B molecules on it, that blood type was called B, and so on. So if the red blood cell has a mixture of both molecules, that blood type was called A and B. If the red blood cell had neither molecule, that blood was called type O. If the two different blood types are mixed together, the blood cells may begin to clump together in the blood vessels, causing a potentially fatal situation. Now, did you listen? You got to be very careful when you mix blood. Warning. Well, does the Bible verify that fact that it's probably not wise to mix blood? But we think so. And so we're going to investigate what the Bible's got to say on this very important subject tonight. Now, the average adult, let's just take an average adult, and the average adult has about 5 liters of blood living inside their body. Now, when I say living, it's an impossibility for you to live without blood. If you are a flesh and blood creature, then it's impossible for you to live without blood. Now, they can take out your actual true blood and use a substitute, like, for instance, if they're operating, they can take your blood out and sanitize it, and they can run a saline solution through your bloodstream to keep you alive under certain conditions. But that's just a temporary thing, not a permanent thing. Or if they could get the permanent blood replacement, then man would not fear anything. And basically we're getting that way anyway, because we are now savaging, we're cannibalizing parts off of one body and transferring them to another. The rich are getting body parts. I don't know whether you know that or not, but it's a big market that is very lucrative in these days. Body parts. Well, blood is another matter. It has always been a precious commodity. Now, the Bible says in Genesis 9:4, the first time that it's recorded, and we're going to give you the first time that the blood is mentioned in Genesis, and it was in relationship to a murder. Well, did not Christ say that there was a group of people on the earth, and we're talking about approximately 4,000 years previous to that, when this murder happened, Christ alluded to that particular person and called him a murderer and a sinner. Now, the Bible says no sin will enter in. So is the blood of Christ, as most Christian fundamental denominational, including the Catholic Church, which they do an amazing thing. They change the wine and the bread into the actual body. These are the ordained priests that have the ability to do so. They change the wine and the bread into the blood and the flesh of the Messiah. And they have built one of the largest churches in the world upon that one factor, the body and the blood of God. Now, life in the blood, Genesis 9:4. Leviticus 17:11, 14, 19, and 16, Deuteronomy 12:23, and Matthew 27:4. And verse 24 talks about life in the blood. It was forbidden to be used as a food. It was at one time. Well, let me just rephrase that. It is one of the most favored substances in food, particularly meat. You see, meat without blood is tasteless, and it's leathery, and it has no juices that flow in the breakdown of the meat as we chew on it, like animals, in a way, that crave blood in their raw meat. Well, humans cook meat, but most of them cook it rare and let the blood, matter of fact, you're not supposed to cook meat with any blood in it whatsoever. It should be removed by soaking it in salt before, I'm talking about red meat. Most white meat is doesn't have as much blood naturally in it, but red meat does. So then, life is in the blood, and it should not be used for food, and it's forbidden in Genesis chapter 9, verse 4, Leviticus 3:17, 7:26, and 27, and 17:10, and 14, and 19, and 26, and Deuteronomy 12:16, and verse 23, 15 and 23, and Ezekiel 33:25, Acts 15:20, and verse 29, and then in the book of Acts 21:25. Now, we shouldn't ingest blood. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that, and I'm going to get into those reasons tonight and tell you of some of the misunderstandings in the Bible concerning blood. Ladies and gentlemen, you know this is a fact. And the passion play that is now playing to, let me assure you, large overflowing crowds are coming into the theaters en masse, probably 90% Christian, out of the curiosity to see exactly, because a picture is worth 1,000 words. In this case, I believe this picture is worth 10 billion words. I don't think words can express. If you go see the movie, and I highly recommend that you do see it, there are some reservations about some of the content of the movie, doctrinally speaking, I don't agree with. However, I believe that Mr. Gibson did quite a remarkable job for the first time in our modern history at the silver screen. Your Messiah, if so be he is your Messiah, shed every drop of blood he had in his veins. Now, life is in the blood. The only way that they killed him, that he volunteered. Now, he didn't go there by force or by the will of man. He went there by choice. Now, why did he go there to be killed? Treated very inhumane, by the way. And if you want to really see who killed him, and this is sparking quite an uproar throughout the United States and soon to be the world, whenever this movie is played around the world, you're going to see reactions like you've never seen before. And just quite possibly, I mean, it only opened on the 25th Ash Wednesday. It opened Wednesday of this week and has now done grossed over $180 million, approximately, give or take a few. And this is unheard of. There's no movie that has ever opened with as much success to overflowing crowds. I'm talking about in some places, every screen in the cinema is being played. The Passion is being played on every screen. And it's playing to record crowds. Numbers of people are coming to see it. And the most important thing that stands out in the movie by itself is the blood of our Redeemer. It is so cruel and shocking to the psychic. I mean, it really cuts right to the core of your own heart when you plead and beg subconsciously, if not visibly. I mean, I heard weeping, and there probably perhaps wasn't many dry eyes after the movie was over with. This is horrible, folks. This is R-rated, and it deserves to be so, and yet it's the cleanest R-rated movie because the truth needs to be told. How that our Redeemer shed his blood for the remission of sins. Now, remember, figuratively, and basically, if you will, sacrificial, Hebrews 9:22 tells us that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Well, you know that animals were a substitute, if you will. Sacrificial animals were used as a substitute blood for the actual blood of our Messiah who came to give his blood freely. Now, my question to you is this, and think about this. After he gave his blood, remember this. Did he give his blood that his blood could cover your sins, or did he give his blood in memory of all the others that gave their blood? In other words, from the righteous blood of Abel, and the Bible said his blood was more righteous than Abel's. And yet the Bible said Abel was righteous, and the blood of Christ was a preferred blood over Abel. Now, I'm going to explain to you why that is. You see, Abel was not the author, or let me rephrase this, the progenitor or the root original of the righteous blood of God upon the earth. Now, let me repeat that. Abel was not the originator of the righteous blood of God Almighty, literally. Now, I'm going to tell you this, folks, literally. You'll see it in the movie. If you go see The Passion, you'll see them open the veins in his back, in his face, and in his skull as they drive the crown of thorns, which, ladies and gentlemen, if you've ever had a thorn in your finger, you know the incredible pain that it produces, let alone to say that they drove it into the skull and into his brain. You see, it pierced the cavity of the skull into the brain where the brain is sitting. And folks, listen, this man, with the miserable beating that he took at the hands of all those responsible, that the blood of all that had been shed prior to his coming could be fulfilled, not only from Adam, in this case, Abel's son, but you see, Adam was the son of Yahweh. So he would be a product of God's blood. Adam is a product. Abel was a product of Yahweh's blood. But Christ was the originator of the blood. There's the difference. Now let me repeat that for you so that you can get the depth and comprehensional understanding, because I'm going into a doctrine tonight that will curl your toenails if you're a Bible studier and you really want the deep facts and you want to get away from this bread and wine substitute, this foolishness that man has ordained. The meals that were ordained in remembrance of him had nothing to do with changing his blood or his wine and the cup that we use as a substitute into the literal blood of God as we drink it in our faith venture trying to please God. Folks, this is a genetic offspring problem solved only by God himself as a solution when the progenitor of the original blood, in other words, the root of the bloodline of God, was fulfilled in Christ, who literally had the blood of God in his veins. Now let me repeat that. I want you to get the impact of my message tonight, because if you've ever listened to a message by Pastor Buddy, you need to really take notes, mental notes, as well as physical notes, or write for this tape. This may perhaps be one of the most important messages that you'll ever hear to help you understand that flesh and blood literally will not inherit the kingdom of heaven, but those that are born of the blood of God will have a guarantee to possess it in a new kingdom. Now, let me repeat a part of that. All substances of blood, all substances. Now, I'm going to include animal blood, because remember, it was a sacrificial substitute. So I'm going to cover all blood. Life is in the blood. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this blood that Christ shed, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and they drained the blood from his flesh. You go see it as they beat him unmercifully, as they cut his side, they drive the nails four places to represent the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh of the precious name, the four nails, and these are sure that his name was nailed. You see, you can't get one drop of that blood that was shed 2,000 years ago. You must get it in the name it was shed in, to, for, and about the blood of God, because he is not only the offspring of David, who was the progenitor of the bloodline race of the righteous blood of Joseph, the Ephraimite, who had the birthright. Christ come and to fulfill, took his rightful place on the throne with the birthright and the scepter, reigning now forever in a kingdom that is not of this world, and flesh and blood will never walk in it. I'm going to repeat that. Carnal, literal flesh and the blood of man will not walk in that kingdom. Unless you're born of the blood of God, not the will of man or the will of a woman, but born again, or better yet, born from above. The word again is an addition to the King James. I'm going to give you some very, very, very interesting aspects of Revelation over in the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, where we're going to lay the gestalt. I might have to teach about 4 or 5 hours just on this message to get you up to speed to understand the depth and the comprehension and the breadth of this message tonight. I'm going to repeat this. Not born by the will of man or the will of blood of a man, but by the blood of God. Now, I want you to think about the impact of what I've said. Remember, we're going to start with Isaac. We started with Abel, and Abel was slain by the wicked one. He was a murderer. He was trying to shut off the blood of God upon the earth. Now, let me tell you this again. The plan of Satan, the reason that Cain acted in a violent manner to shed the blood of Abel. Abel was literally the offspring of Yahweh. You say, oh, well, Pastor Buddy, glory to God. That's just a little bit too rich for my blood. I can't handle that statement there. Well, let me bring you up to speed and see if we can remind you that in the Bible, and I give anybody $1,000 reward for they can read, where that Abel was in the genealogy of Adam or Cain. $1,000 for anybody that can read whether that Adam was the father of either Cain or Abel. He's not listed in the genealogy. Adam didn't get any sons until, oh, you said, well, he knew her in the garden. He did, after the fact. There were two that already knew her before Adam came in contact with her. And she was already conceived and pregnant with the seed of the serpent, Cain, and the seed of Yahweh, Abel. Now remember, Adam was a son of Yahweh. So therefore, if Abel was a son of Yahweh, and Adam was a son of Yahweh, they would have been brothers rather than father-son. You see, the mystery lies beyond Adam. You got to look for the progenitors of a good seed and a bad seed prior to Adam bringing a seed. Now, the reason Adam was permitted to bring a seed, it was just like an animal was used for a sacrificial substitute of the blood of an animal before God, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And this was a temporary, and Abel, by the way, was the first one you can read in the Bible to make a blood sacrifice. You see, Cain brought the fruit of the ground. He brought the works of his hands, and Abel brought a revelation of blood to cover his mother's transgression. That's exactly what it was. You see, his mother was ministrating, shedding blood herself in a natural state after she brought forth this illicit seed, Cain. Then she had to bring forth in sorrow for disobedience because it was the serpent, not Adam or not Yahweh, that beguiled her, tricked her, conned her into the garden. And when the word is eat, the better choice would have been, in Strong's number 398, lay, L-A-Y, rather than E-A-T, and I've been over this before. But to bring you up to speed and lay a gestalt of a foundation, a thought process for you, we're going to jump from there over to Jacob and Esau. Now remember, there was a tremendous battle going on in the womb of Rebekah. Now let's go back before we get to that. We're jumping ahead of ourselves because we're going to get the bloodline of God established into the earth and the sons of God and the daughters of God born not by the will of flesh or the blood of man, but of the blood of God. As they descended from heaven many, many millennia ago, to be partakers of his divine suffering and grace, therefore his sons and daughters were partakers of suffering, and therefore our Creator, Yahweh himself, knowing that it would be the shedding of his blood that would be required. You see, substitutes would not appease the accuser of the brethren. That would be the prosecuting attorney in the heavenly courts, and that would have been Satan, who forever was there to accuse you of sin with no covering. You see, that blood of an animal would only cover you for a year, and then the prosecuting attorney could refile charges against you as a sinner. And so then, God, troubled with this, waited until the time appointed, and there was a time appointed, for him to come down and shed his own blood, that he could forever sanctify them with his own blood. Now, this blood is still symbolic. He shed his blood symbolic. You cannot get one drop of that blood to rub on you. And if it depended on getting one drop of the literal blood that shed by Christ, that ran from his body, his wounded, broken body. I mean, they bruised him, and they broke the skin all up and down, front and back, his body. That's what this movie, Mel Gibson, has made. And if one thing he did a great job of showing the terrible punishment that was inflicted upon him by wicked sinners. Remember, it was Cain's children that killed Christ. I'm going to repeat that. It was Cain's children. They were murderers, and they were born of the blood of a murderer. And a leopard can't change his spot, and neither can you change your blood. I don't care how many infusions or transfusions that you get, because the cells that came in its original state maps the identity of that blood. You may get compatible blood to mix and mingle with it, and that's what the Bible said that they would try to do, is to mingle and mix their blood to where it become a genetic nightmare for the father to find these wicked ones, as they have woven themselves into the genetics of the sons of Yah. And I can read several different places where they did that. I've done that prior to this message here, but this is a message that will cover the blood issue, and we hope once and for all that you'll get it straight. Now, let's go back to Isaac. You see, a lot of people claim that they're Abraham's children, and by genetic blood of Abraham and various wives, it could be true. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, the covenant of redemption, the covenant that belongs to those who belong to God Almighty, no exception and no exclusions, this blood covenant was to Isaac, not to Abraham. So then there's the covenant to Abraham, in what we would call a literal blood covenant, and then there's a spiritual covenant to Isaac, because you see, Isaac was fathered, I believe, into existence by Yahweh himself. Remember that Isaac entreated Yahweh concerning his wife Sarah, and Yahweh was entreated. Well, let's go from there. Now, we believe that Isaac was a born blood issued, again, substitute, just like Abel. Now, Satan knows all this, and so he devises a plan to, again, throw a genetic monkey wrench, if you will, into the genetic equation by coming on the scene at the... Abraham had. And so he calls upon Yahweh, and again, Yahweh is entreated for Rebekah.
and visited her, the Bible says. But in this case, when Rebecca was impregnated, we believe by two different seeds, by the way, again by Satan, and again by Yahweh. You see, the battle's going on, folks. It's the scarlet thread that is woven up to Christ, and then the climactic conclusion of the matter when Satan and his offspring killed our Redeemer, our Savior, who was born not of the will of man. I can read that. Not by the blood of man. I can read that. But by the blood of God. The literal, spiritual blood, if you will, of God. The acceptable blood. The only blood code that will be the key. Remember, Christ is the key to our salvation. And it's his blood genetic code, not his literal blood that shed and ran down from the tree. So then it's the genetic code that's the key combination. Now, many sons and daughters have been born through this precious blood covenant, for Christ, the bridegroom, came to get his bride. He got his bride in the first resurrection. He's coming for his children in the second one. Isn't that line upon line, precept upon precept, when you've been told by the bellbox preachers that Christ is coming to get a bride? They're about 2,000 years behind the deal. He got one in the first resurrection. He took her out of the earth. And they travailed in the love chamber of the heavenly genetic code chamber and began to produce sons and daughters who were chosen before the foundation of the world, and their genetic code was mapped, and they were identified in flesh bodies. This is a great mystery. I just wish I could find the heavenly words to convey the message in a literal carnal sense, but I can't. It's far beyond me. I can't reach the proper verbs and nouns and adjectives that would be needed. After Paul went to that place called the third heaven, he heard things it was not lawful to utter. I'm telling you a part of what he heard, because the time has come that the seals are being broken. And we're telling you exactly why, that Christ was not a Jew. He had not one drop of Jewish blood in his veins. Not one drop. I'll repeat that. Christ did not have one drop of Jewish blood flowing in his veins. Now, all substances of blood are very mysterious. In some senses, the most sacred scripture teaches us, and after all, there is much philosophy and deceit in the scriptures, if you understand what I'm talking about. The Bible said that the scriptures, some are used to deceive you as well as some to save you. You see, God Almighty himself will send you a strong delusion. Now, the most important thing is that the blood is the life thereof. And the life in the blood, therefore, is the mysterious link between matter and spirit. Now, I told you it's a mysterious link. How is it that the soul should, in any degree, have an alliance with the matter through blood? I don't understand. But certain, for sure, it is that this mysterious link, which unites these apparent dissimilar things together so that the soul can inhabit the body and the life can rest in the blood. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in something tonight that will take you to the next level. Now, the two-flow purpose in my text is tonight, is that the blood of murdered Abel and the blood that murdered Christ, the blood, the same blood, now I'm going to repeat this, the bloodline that murdered Abel was the same bloodline that murdered Christ. And this is why that Mel Gibson's movie has brought the world to a standstill, and they feel compelled to have to see this movie. And I hope and trust that this movie will make Mel Gibson and his production company so rich, literally, that they will no longer be threatened with blackmail by the bloodline of the same men that killed Christ and killed Abel. That bloodline now controls 95% of Hollywood. Mel Gibson was a brave man for making this movie. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray for his safety, because I do believe that he's in dire danger, as was President Kennedy, as was Abraham Lincoln, and others who dared to defy the empire of the New World Order. You see, this New World Order is not new. The Antichrist are not new. They just didn't happen on the scene yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. They've been here from the very get-go of Genesis chapter 3, and that very blood that killed Abel, Cain, who was a murderer, whose father was Satan. I hope you can see this. You see, all the angelic beings from this planet system called heaven came down to experiment and to create. And the Bible uses the word Elohim instead of God, as it's recorded in the King James Bible. That means they were more than one. And one of these beings sought to exalt his genetics above the preferred genetic. You see, Yahweh wanted mankind to have his blood in their veins that they could live forever and enjoy the paradise that was meant to be from the mind of Yahweh. But see, Satan, and the Bible said when he was searched, there was iniquity found in him. And if you don't believe in a literal Satan, which the word Satan means opposer, and your carnal mind does oppose you, that's just flesh and blood. That's why it won't enter in. It's always wondering whether it's right or wrong. It don't know the difference between right and wrong, to tell you the truth, because it has lost its faculty to reason by the downfall or the fall of man. And so he needed a redeemer, someone to come. I'm talking about for those that are righteous, that didn't even sin after Adam's sin. I didn't have anything to do with it, neither did you. Could we blame it on one man, or why do I get blamed? Well, why do I have to die? Because this is a test. The world is a testing ground for your loyal obedience or for your disobedience. And the Bible said, choose this day who you'll serve, and a tree is known by its fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bring forth good. It's that simple. It is a black and white issue here, and it all boils down to one thing, blood. Now, I'm going to over to the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Let's go over there for just a moment, and let's look at a particular scripture that is written there in the book of Acts. We're going to examine it and see just exactly what it says in Acts 17. Now turn with me there in your studies. And we're going to break out the Greek. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we just take the old King James for granted and any other English Bible, and we just honk it right on down the road without ever pausing to think that something could be added or something mistranslated. You see, we need to check to the originality, and the warning is, do not add to or take from, but rightly divide. That's what we're going to do here. I'm going to comment on a particular verse here, and I'm going to show you something. It's going to fascinate you, may surprise you, and it may bless you, and I hope it does all three of the above. I hope it doesn't offend you, which probably it will, a lot of people. But I'm counting on you, my little students that study with Pastor Buddy every Sunday night on the Shepherd's Call, and we take you to places where no one else dares to go. We give you a revelation that's not been heard of. And we bring things to light that's been in darkness, because the Father has anointed us to break the seal of these things that's been hidden for generations. And now with the approval and the unction of the Father and the Spirit, and by His own blood that flows in my soul, I now bring this to you in the 26th verse of Acts 17. It says in Acts 17, verse 26, and this is, ladies and gentlemen, this has made man tremble, when these humanists and these evolutionary people that believe. Now, let me show you something here. If, now I'm going to use the word if Adam, now in this case we're going to have to jump up to Noah, because Adam, all the sons of Adam perished in the flood, with the exception of Noah and his three sons and their three wives and his wife. So only eight souls are now left out of the genetic offspring of Adam. I didn't say that all of the other different genetics out there perished, and neither does the Bible. But everybody assumes that God destroyed all of humanity because of some more mistranslations in the Bible that you need to study on to show yourself approved. See, most people read, and they think by reading, they're smart. Folks, if it's a wrong material that you're reading, or a misguided word into your spirit, and it slants you over to a seamlight way, rather than the way that is correct, then you have got a major problem to dig yourself out of a traditional hole that perhaps you'll never come out of. Now, let me repeat this, and I want you to hear me well. This is Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. Ground Truth Zero, where the rubber meets the road, where we take on these very controversial issues, not because we want to be controversial, but because we want you to be knowledgeable of the controversy, for great is the controversy of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. Now, this is in Athens, Paul's preaching to an assembly of philosophers on Mars Hill. And his spirit was stirred in him when he seen the whole city given to idolatry. I wonder if he came to New York City today to see the gays lined up and get them some license with the approval of this liberal cane seed court system we've got. What if he's in San Francisco, where again the California Supreme Court decided that they wasn't going to take this issue before them right now, so that they could give their friends, and this is what it's all about, ladies and gentlemen, the liberalizing of America, the destruction of the moral belief system that built this nation into the nation it is, will be destroyed by the same people that destroyed Russia. And you know who they were, Lenin and Trotsky, and need I say more? Well, the hidden agenda for America is the same thing that happened to Russia. Bring her to her knees and make the people scared, or dependent, totally upon the system designed under the guise of communism or community of all together. Now, here's the theme that they would like to teach, and this is a fact of error when they say that we're all descended from one blood. Now, I want to repeat that. If you believe that we're all descended from Adam, and all this hodgepodge of different blood that you see running around upon the earth today, and we have approximately 6 billion people, or perhaps more, We don't really know for sure. We know that it's getting overcrowded and something's going to have to be done. He hath made, this is 26th verse of the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Listen to me very carefully. And I suggest that you get your old Greek interlinear out to correct it, because this is an error. And hath made of one blood all nations. This is Paul supposed to be speaking now. But you see, Paul didn't say blood of all nations. Of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and set the bounds of their habitations. Now, the last part of that is correct. The first part of this statement is incorrect. Nowhere in the Greek text that this English version is taken from is the word blood mentioned. Now, the word blood has been added to the text. Now, let me repeat that. You check it out in the Greek. If I'm wrong, call Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. I'm live. And this is the 29th day, the leap year, February the 29th. It's unusual. Every 4 years I get to say this. So it's the 29th day. You can remember it well. The 29th day of February in the year 2004, as man counts time, which I don't have much faith in. Anyway, if you listen to Brother Arnold a while ago talking about the Sabbath, folks, you people that have not studied in the Sabbath, I encourage you to back and support Brother Arnold. He's in a dogfight. He is gifted to defend the integrity and truth of the Sabbath. So then I urge you to support him when he teaches on the lunar Sabbath, which is correct. You see, the Jews give a Saturday, and again, they lie. And then we've got these these little Johnny Quickoffs, you know, they come on and, they'll jerk off a little doctrine out of their 23rd chapter of their imagination, far beyond the last chapter of the book of Revelation, which ends in 22. They create another chapter, and that's out of the 23rd chapter of their imagination to justify their traditions and follow the serpent seed. You don't want to do that. You want to follow the tradition of the Hebrews, not the Jews. There is a people on the earth now that are from the seed of Cain who call themselves Jews, and they are eating your Christian lunch. They are so antichrist, so deceptive, so immoral, they have created more filth. They have robbed, plundered, stole, murdered, and killed, just like their father. And then they come about claiming that they're God's chosen people. And when you say anything about them, such as Mel Gibson did, they holler anti-Semitic. How can you be anti-Semitic when Mel Gibson is an Israelite himself? Pastor Buddy Johnson is a bona fide Scottish-Irish Israelite out of the tribe of Ephraim. How can I be anti-Semitic? The only thing that I'm anti is those that call themselves Jews and are not. These are not Semitics. They are the anti-Semitics because they're teaching that they're Jews and they're liars, and they are not. And the word blood has been added for the benefit of the Christian churches that believe we're all from one blood. And then from Adam's blood, in this case from Noah, who was from Adam's blood. From Adam's blood came the black race, the yellow race, the green race, the purple race, and any other kind of race that they can genetically hodgepodge up and come up with and mix and mingle their blood together, which is entirely scripturally unjust and forbidden by the truth of God. And that's why Pastor Buddy's hated. That's why Mel Gibson is now joining. And this is timely, ladies and gentlemen. One picture is worth a thousand words. I couldn't put it into expression any better in a movie. If I was making a movie, I could not have created a movie to display the inhumane treatment of these serpent seeds that killed our Savior. You say, well, how do you know it was? Now, let me get back to this before I get off the track and I'll prove it to you. I've got to get out of here. My time is up. He hath made of one blood of all nations. That's Strong's number. Nation is Strong's number 1484. That is a mistranslation. That should be ethnos. He is made of one blood of all ethnos. Ethnos means a particular blood line genetic of a people. You ever heard of ethnic cleansing? When we allowed in Serbia, we allowed the Serbs to be massacred by those off-blooded people, and the United States did not back the Aryan people of Serbia and Bosnia. They backed the other side, the off-color. You know why? Because the people that run our government are all in favor of destroying all of the Aryan race of the earth. And that's a tragedy. That's ethnic cleansing. And little by little, they're reducing the percentage of the white Aryan people in the earth. Now, that's not to say that there's not good black people. I've got good friends in the black community, church. A lot of our friends are blacks. A lot of them. Ladies and gentlemen, when Yahweh made the black man, he saw it was good. And he arrested, but he set the habitation and the bounds and appointed them to stay in their place. You see, the problem is they have been actually forced over here into this country. And now with the liberal laws of immigration, all races can mix and mingle together, and it's promoted by our government. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not biblical. This is what's causing all the hatred and the violence and the separation, because Paul said right here, let me give you the true rendering of Acts 17:26, and he hath made all of the ethnic nations of Israel of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed. You see, he appointed the place for his people, the sons of Jacob that I told you about, when Jacob and Esau wrestled in the womb. And Rebecca went to inquire what was wrong in her womb. It clearly says that two nations, or two ethnos, two ethnic groups of people, was in her womb. That proved out to be, ladies and gentlemen. Well, let me give you my address. If you'd like to call me tonight, again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box. No, let me give you my Post Office Box first. Get your pen and pencil. I'll give you my Post Office Box. You can write me. If you'd like to support our message, if we have a message that gets near to your heart, if you love truth, if you don't care for controversy, your pastor here is a very controversial man. I'm hated. I'm despised. I'm cast down, but I'm not forsaken. I know who I belong to. I know who my Savior and Redeemer is. I know who the King of all kings is. I know where he came, who he was. I hope you do too. And if you keep on listening to the Shepherd's Call, you will find out exactly who you are. Praise Yahweh. Now, that's Post Office Box 2284. Just address your letter, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, talk to me. I'm live. Area code 423-626-2172. Now, let me give you two tools to pledge your support. Two toll-free numbers, 1-877, and that is 289-7439. 1-877-289-7439. Pledge support. Just call that toll-free number between the hours of 9 and 5. Won't cost you nothing to call. Pledge support by using this number. Or you can call 1-888-281-7320. Well, folks, I appreciate being in your homes, your automobiles, or wherever that you're listening to us on the mighty voice that goes around the world, WWCR5070. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call. I'm live tonight, and I need to hear from you. Just sit down and pledge support to me. Send it in the letter. Call those toll-free numbers. Pledge support. Make a commitment to my sponsors, Dr. Gary and Dr. Jack, and we'd be delighted to hear from you. Either one of us or all three of us involved in this ministry would love to have you participate. We need your help. We would like to launch out into other mediums of exchange that we could preach the truth. For in the last days, the Bible said, there shall come a deliverer out of Zion, and he will awaken Jacob and turn them from their ungodliness. We're just one of the many that are chosen by the Father in the last days to loose the seals and preach the revelation and unfold the mysteries that were kept secret from the foundation of the world. Well, by the grace of our Heavenly Father, we'll see you next Sunday night on WWCR 5070. We'd like to appreciate the time that we spent on WWCR on Friday night. Most of you that heard us there, we're thankful that you tuned in to hear us on 5070 last Friday night. Yahweh bless you until next Sunday night. This is Pastor Buddy in the Shepherd's Call saying, Yahweh bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise God.